Okay, so tonight's daf is sponsored by Henry Rechnitz on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his father, Yitzchak Tzvi ben Shlomo. Okay, so it's Lilui Nishmato, the learning. All right, let's take a look at the daf on Kuf Chaf Aleph, where we left off yesterday. So we left off yesterday around midway down the daf. We were jumping ahead a little bit. So there's an asterisk where it says Tanya Amar Rebbe. It's around the 20th, around midway down the column, okay? Yeah. So it's near the psukim mishlei. So Tanya Amar Rebbe. So again, let's review from yesterday. So we spoke about mayim sheish lahem sof and mayim she'ein lahem sof. So if it's mayim she'ein lahem sof, everybody agrees that she can't get remarried. In other words, mayim she'ein lahem sof means a viewer, if he sees the person go under the water, but he can't see all the shore where the ocean ends or the body of water ends, so then the woman cannot remarry based on his statement because the person may have escaped unbeknownst to him. But then we have a machloket if it's mayim sheyesh lahem sof. So mayim sheyesh lahem sof, according to Rabbi Yossi, then that you could do. But according to Rabbi Meir, it's still prohibited, even if it's mayim sheyesh lahem sof, even if it's a smaller body of water. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tanya, I'm a Rebbe, ma'aseh b'shnei b'nei adam, mechamri machmurim b'yardin. It's an incident with two people who were spreading nets in the Yarden. Now the Jordan River, so the Yarden is mayim sheyesh lahem sof, because for where I stand, wherever I'm on the Yarden, I can't see all points of the shore. It's, you know, it goes up a considerable distance and down a considerable distance. So one of them entered like a burrow or a tunnel. Rashi says on the bank, like the fish make a tunnel. So he's able to enter this tunnel, and then the sun set, and then he couldn't find the exit for this mechila. So in other words, there's air there, and there's water there, and he's in this tunnel, but his friend doesn't know where he is. His friend waited around a length of time until he was assured, he thought, that the person must be dead. In other words, he can't live so long. Please turn off all his cell phones, okay? He says, Uvavo di betof beto. So he goes, he notifies the fellow's household. You know, let's say Ruben is dead. I don't think I'm going to see him again. Lamachar zarchachama. The next day, sunrise came. V'hikir pitcha shamachila. He found the opening of this tunnel or burrow. He comes home and he sees like a big funeral taking place, you know, like a big hesped for him, whereas he sees like, you know, a present at his own sort of funeral. That's the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying today. So I'm a Rebbe. So here you see, like, here it's Mayim She'ein Lahem Sof, but his friend thought and the family thought he's dead because he can't survive that. So Amar Rebbe, Kam Gedolim Devrei Chachamim Sha'amru, Mayim Sheshlam Sof, Ishta Muteret. So how great are the words of the Chachamim? Now when he quotes the word of the Chachamim, he said it's the Machloka Tanayim between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi, but he means the Rebbe Yossi's version. He says that Mayim Sheshlam Sof, Ishta Muteret. If it's Mayim Sheshlam Sof, the wife's permissible, She'ein Lam Sof, Ishta Asura. But Ein Lam Sof, the wife remains prohibited. So here you see, everybody thought he's dead, but he's really alive. Yihachi, so the Gemara says, if that's the case, even if it's Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Sof, and I don't see the person, you know, emerging from the water on any of the shores, why am I not Choshesh that maybe there's a Mechila Shel Dagim? There's one of these like tunnels or burrows where the fish have made, and maybe even if it's a smaller body of water, I may not see him. He says, yeah, this nami leichush the mechilas shodagim, the mayim sheish lam sof mechilas shodagim lo shchicha. So the Gemara says that like the fish don't make those burrows if it's a small body of water. If it's a big, it was not, there aren't so many fish or whatever, but it's only like a big body of water, or it's not shchicha. It's not common that they make it, and I don't have to worry about it in that situation. All right, here's a question that comes to us on anything I did so far. Right. I don't know. He didn't recognize the person. Okay. All right. That's what it says. I mean, presumably, you know, during the day is when you would see things, but I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Now, let's take a look. Amravashi, Hata Amravanan, Mayim Shinam Sof Ishto Asura. So Ravashi says, when the Chazchamim said, so the Gemara, the Malach of the Gemara seems to be like Rabbi Yossi. In other words, Rabbi Yossi holds that if it's, you know, Mayim Sheishtam Sof, then the Ishto is Muter. Mayim Sheinlam Sof is prohibited. So Ravashi says, when they said Mayim Shinam Sof Ishto Asura, according to everybody, Hani Mila B'Inish Da'alma. That's like the garden variety person. He says, about Surban Rabbanan, if he's a young Talmud Chacham, lo, it would not be true. He says, and then on the side, he corrects it. He eats at the Salik Kala Idlay. He says that, in other words, if a person's a Gadol B'Torah and he would leave the water, so everybody would know about it right away. So we said, Mayim Shinlam Sof, so again, Mayim Shinlam Sof is Isha is prohibited. So here, Ravashi wants to say, if the person is a well-known personality, like a big Talmud Chacham, so even if it's Mayim Shinlam Sof, if he had emerged from the water, so the news would have spread, you know, like the way that Ray Liebus was saying, like Ramosha Feinstein or whatever. So everybody would know about it. Since they don't know about it, so that she can remarry. But the Gemara says, Veloshi, it's not true what Ravashi said. Loshna Inish Da'alma, Veloshna Tzurban Rabbanon, doesn't make a difference if it's a garden variety person or it's a Tzurban Rabbanon. He says, D'Evedin L'Chakilalo. Meaning, now the Gemara is saying, B'di'eved, if she would marry, so we wouldn't make her divorce the husband. But l'chachila, to say that you have a green light to marry, we would not tell her to do that. Okay? All right, let's see about the Gemara. Now, Tanya, and here's a famous Gemara that relates to Daf Yomi, which I've spoken about in the past, but we'll speak about it in a few minutes, and maybe you recall. So, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Gamliel, Pamachara Yiti Mahalech B'Svina. So, Gamliel says, once I was traveling by boat, for Iti Svina Achat Shinishbara, I saw another boat that had broken apart. He says, V'yari Iti Mitztara Taman Chacham Shabbat. I was upset about the Talmud Chacham who I knew was on that boat. It's like you saw the Titanic go down or something like that. Umanu, Rabbi Akiva. I know Rabbi Akiva's on the boat. I see the boat is broken apart. It's like Chaval. He says, Ushaliti Bayabashav. When I came to dry land, Babi Ashav Adanafanai Bahalacha. Rabbi Akiva came, he sat, and he deliberated with me about Halacha. So Amartilo, Bini Mihalacha. How did you get out of this mess? He said to him. Amali said to me, Dafshal Svinan is Damainli. I found a board of the ship and I grabbed onto it. The Cholgal Bagal Shaba'alai, and every wave that passed over me, the Nati Lo Roshi. I bent my head and I went with the flow. So Mikalam Ruchachamim, Nero Roshoy Maladam, Yenei Lo Rosho. So from here, Chachamim saying, like, it's not just like the ocean and the waves, but even with Roshoyim. If you're dealing with Roshoyim, sometimes you just got to go with the flow and just, you know, hang on, and then with time it'll pass. So Amarti Bo Tosha'a, so Ragulina said, I said at that time, Tam G'dolim Dibrei Chachamim Sha'amru Mayim Shisham Sof Muteret Mayim She'inlam Sof Asura. In other words, this water that I saw him go down is Mayim She'inlam Sof. I was under the misimpression that he was dead, but really, he was alive. So you see how great are the words of Chachamim, you know, people could be so certain, you know, the person must be dead, but he's really not dead. Now, let me pause for a story from the Daf Yomi, people may recall. One second. You know what I think I'm going to do? Okay, I got the story. You know what? Let me read one more story, and then I'll do the story. Okay? So back on the Gemara. He says here, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Akiva. Now, we learn another Bryce. So Rabbi Akiva says, Tamachari Timalech Basvina, once I was traveling by boat, I saw another boat sinking at sea. So they had this in the Masipta Gemara, and Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned as well. In the first case, the boat broke apart, so you could have a daf, like a board that's floating. Now the whole boat like just goes down. So this is the same Rabbi Akiva who had been saved from the other shipwreck. Now he's in the safe ship, and he's concerned about another Talmud Chacham that went down, Umanu Rameir. As I saw Rameir going down, someone said about that. Now, Rameir was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, so he's seen one of his Talmidim going down in the boat. When I disembarked in Kapotkia, they usually say Cappadocia in Asia Minor, Rameir was there. He sat down and he was deliberating with Halakha before me. I said, how did you get out of that mess? Amarli, he said to me, Gal Tudan Lechavero, one wave delivered me to the next wave. Bechaver Lechavero, Ashikiani Lebashato, spit me out on the dry land. Amarti Bo Tasha'a, so I, Rabbi Akiva, said at that moment, Kama Gedolim Devei Chachamim, how great are the words of Chachamim, Shamru, Maim Shisham Sof Ishtamuteret. If it's Maim Shisham Sof, where I could see everything, then the wife is permissible if I see the guy go down. Maim Sha'in Lahem Sof, like the oceans, Maim Sha'in Lahem Sof, Ishto Asura. And here also, so just like Rabbi Gamliel thought that Rabbi Akiva was dead in the previous incident, now Rabbi Akiva thought his Talmud Rabbi Meir must be dead. But he wasn't, he was alive. So it shows you about Mayim Shein Lahem Sof. Now, let me just do a story, then we'll take questions comes to the West. When Rabbi Meir Shapiro of Lublin Tzitzal wanted the concept of universal Daf Yomi to be warmly accepted at the upcoming first Knesset Gedola of the world of Gush Etzion. So in 1923, as it's known, Rabbi Meir Shapiro, you know, he went to the Chofetz Chaim ahead of time and to get people to adopt, to endorse it. But then he went to the first Knesset Gedola that they should adopt this as part of their plan. After much consideration, he felt the best chance for the idea to truly take hold was for the venerable Chofetz Chaim Tzitzal to present this to the multitudes of the convention. If the God of Lador were to speak on the program's behalf, truly this would have the greatest possible impact. When Rameir went to see the Chofetz Chaim about this, however, the God will refuse. Oh no, you were the one to present this before the many attendees of the convention. I only asked that you come 25 minutes late to the assembly. So he said, come late and it'll work out well. So Rameir didn't really understand why he should arrive late, but he was determined to follow the instructions of the God of Lador regardless. On the day of the Knesset came, Rameir made sure to appear 25 minutes late as requested. The place was jam-packed, and as the Chofetz Chaim noticed Rameir enter, he stood up for him. So the Chofetz Chaim sees Rameir Shapiro enter, he stands up. When the rest of the Gedolim in attendance saw this, they immediately followed suit. They all stood up for him. Soon the entire assembly was standing in Rameir's honor. When Rameir spoke about the Daf Yomi program, he had everyone's individual attention. He said, in Yivamot Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, we find that Rabbi Gamliel was distressed when he saw Rabbi Akiva's boat sink at sea. When he got to dry land, he was pleasantly surprised to find Rabbi Akiva learning. When he asked how he survived, Rabbi Akiva explained, I found a daf, literally a board of the ship, and grabbed onto it. Every time a wave came, I bent my head, and the wave passed over me and was gone. The God will explain, the daf of Yivamos Kuf Chaf Aleph can be explained metaphorically to mean the daf Yomi, truly a lifeline extended to every Jew, meaning you have to grab onto the daf. You grab onto the daf, and it takes you through all the vicissitudes of life. You have problems at work, you hold on to the daf. Problems at home, you hold on to the daf. You come for 1 hour, you close the door, you learn the daf Yomi. That's what takes you through life. So he says, learning the daf Yomi will save us from dangerous waves which threaten to engulf us physically and spiritually. And it's like for the Yachid and for the Rabbim as well. This daily daf of Gemara will rescue every Jew from the waves of spiritual trials and ensure that he remains connected to Torah no matter what storm he weathers. Daf nizdamein li v'nitzalti. A daf came my way and I was saved. Okay, who said questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, so when Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, we're three lines from the bottom. Okay, so Tanur Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa. Nafal Gova Rayo. Now, let's say a man fell into a lion's den, which doesn't look like, you know, he's got long to live. Aim Eden Alav. We can't testify that he's dead. Even though I saw him fall into the lion's den, I can't say he's dead. If I saw him fall into like a pit or a furrow that was filled with snakes or scorpions, the Eden Alav, then I could testify that he's dead. Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera Omer, Afa Chavur Malei Nachash Makravim Me'im Me'idin Lav. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, even if he falls into this pit with snakes or scorpions, I can't testify that he's dead. Why? Chayshinan, turn page, the top line on Kuf Chaf Aleph days. Chayshinan Shema Chabarhu. I have to be concerned that maybe he was like a snake charmer. So even though he's falling into a pit with snakes, maybe he used his skills and he got out of it. So it's not a done deal. So Vatana Kama. Why is the Tanakhama Chulak with Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera? Why does the Tanakhama hold that if it's the pit with the snakes or the scorpions, then he can testify that he's dead? The Tanakhama Agav Itzta Mazkile. The Tanakhama holds because even if he's a snake charmer, but because of the pressure, like stepping on the snakes or the scorpions, he's going to be history. Now, the idea being that the snakes and scorpions, they cling together, you know, and so, but But if Lu Yetzur, it would be like a pit where there's empty spots. So then in Achinami, it sounds like the Tanakhama would agree that it's not definite that he's dead. Conversely, with the lion's pit, we assume there's a place to stand. But if it's like closed in and no place to stand, then Lechora, he's dead. So if you look at the Rashi, the top line in Rashi, Agav Itzitza, it's means the pressure. Shadoch Khan Shomedalehem, he presses them, the stakes, when he stands up. About Gova Rayat Rachavu, the lion's den is very wide. Vein Omedalehem, he doesn't stand on them. Upamim Shainam Revi, Main Oklamato. Sometimes lions aren't so hungry, so they won't eat him. Now let's see back in the Gemara, the second line. Tana Rabbanan, Nafalato Kipshana Aish, Me'idin Alav. Let's say I saw somebody fall into a fiery furnace, so I could testify that he's dead. He says, Yoramalei Yayin Beshemen, Me'idin Alav. Now let's say he falls into a vat of oil or wine that's on the fire. And it was a boiling vat of wine or a boiling vat of oil. Now the wine, you know, that's like Yayin Mevushal, right? That's the exception when it's cooked. The Mevushal, that's what Mevushal is. It's been boiled, and that's the exception for the dinim with Stam Yena. So let's say he falls into the vat of the wine or the shemen, then I could testify that he's dead. Now I should mention, you know, in the ancient world, boiling oil was used as a weapon. Like people would, you know, be attempting to, you know, climb up a wall, and the defenders would pour boiling oil on them, and they're, you know, scream in pain, and that's a very difficult thing. So he said, okay, now Mishum Rabbi Acha Amru, the name of Rabbi Acha, they said Shoshemen Meidin Alav Meshu Mavir. If he fell into the boiling vat of oil, so then you could testify that he's dead. That's the same as the Tanakhama. He said, Mimleshu Mavir means when he plops into that boiling vat, so some of the oil will spill out, but the oil that spills out will, you know, ignite the flame even more, you know, cause it to like lurch up even more. It's like, what do they call the thing that you spray on with a barbecue, the charcoal is the lighter fluid, like that, right? So it's like lighter fluid. He says, Shel Yayin Eimi Yidalav. But if he fell into the vat with wine, according to Rabbi Acha, I can't testify that he's dead, because the wine that, like, in other words, he plops into the vat, there's wine that spills out. So that wine that spills out has a tendency to put out the fire. So maybe he could have survived. He says, Amulo, so the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Acha, Tchilato Mechaba B'Sofo Mavir. In the beginning, it puts it out, but then it lights up even more later on. So they said that he's history either way. All right? All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, let me go further. Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, "Ma'ase b'chad shenafal lebor gadol b'kulei." So, if you remember, in the Mishnah, again, we had the machloket in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and it seems like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir says that whether it's mayim sheish lamsof or ein lamsof, ishto asura. So, the point of dispute is mayim sheish lamsof. That's the machloket. If it's mayim sheish lamsof, Rabbi Meir says the wife still can't remarry. And Rabbi Yossi holds she could under those circumstances. So Rabbi Meir brings a proof to his position that even if it's Mayim Sheshem Sof, you can't remarry. So he says in the Mishnah, this is on Amud Aleph, there was an incident with one person who fell the Bor HaGadol, this big cistern, I don't know how big, but a big cistern. And then after 3 days, he emerged from the cistern. So the big cistern is Mayim Sheshem Sof. But I nevertheless see that he came out after 3 days. So he wants to say that's a proof that I'm correct. And even if it's Mayim Sheish Lamsof, that you can't let the wife remarry, even though nobody saw him, you know, emerge, like within, let's say, whatever it takes, you know, to wait. Nobody saw him emerge that way. And there was like the time that you would normally assume that a person would be dead. So Amr Meir, Ma'aseh b'chad shenafal lebor gadol b'kulei. So Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Amru lo l'Rav Meir. So in the Braisa, we have the Chachamim's response to Rabbi Meir. Ein maskir in ma'aseh nisim. In other words, yeah, talk had happened. But something miraculous, you know, I'm not going to, you know, take into account. So my masinisim, what was the miraculous event? Maybe they say the fact that he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. In other words, presumably, I don't know, he must have been breathing air, so he's out of the water, but nobody heard from him for 3 days, so he wasn't eating or drinking. So maybe that's the miraculous thing. And here the Gemara quotes the beginning of the Pasuk, but what do I tell you? You always need the end of the pasuk. It says, "V'atachlu v'atshtu shloshe yamim laila v'yom gamen even arotayatim king." So Esther says to Mordechai, "You know, I want you and all the Jews to fast for me for 3 days and three nights. It's quite a fast. Remember, that's the fast when they fasted on Pesach, on Yom Tov. So according to Rashi, they fasted on Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, the 15th of Nisan, and the 16th of Nisan. That's by Avor Mordechai. The Mordechai, like means like he passed over, but it means the drasha is that he transgressed, that he didn't eat matzah and things like that, that Pesach. So, and then it says, Gamaniva Narotayatsim Chain, the Gra says, Chain, Begamatria, is 70. Chaf is 20, Nun is 50. So the Gra says it means that Esther herself was only going to fast for 70 hours. She was going to eat before she would see Achashverosh the final time. But everybody else should fast for 3 days. But you see, people can fast for 3 days. Ella Delonayim. So the Gemara says the miracle is that he didn't sleep for 3 days. That the Gemara takes as a miraculous thing. And then he was able to survive. The Amar of Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Shavua Shlo Ishan Shloshi Yamim. If a person takes a Shavua, an oath, that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, Malkin Otovi Hashem La'altar. So I don't have to wait till the 3 days pass or till he falls asleep. I give him Malkin right away, meaning it's as good as done. He's not going to be able to stay awake for 3 days, and then he can go to sleep. Rabbi Meir, my time. So that being the position of the Chachamim, what did Meir respond to that? So Amar Rav Kahana, in other words, they say it's miraculous. How can anybody go for 3 days without sleeping? And the Gemara assumes that you're not sleeping when you're floating on the water or things like that. So how does that work? So my time is, so Amar Rav Kahana, keeping of God, keeping in Havu. So Rameir says, or Rav Kahana says, that Rameir would say that in this Bor HaGadol, there were arches. So he was able to like support himself on one of the arches. And I don't know why he didn't pull himself out of the water, but he was able to sleep because he had something to support himself. For Rabbanon, the Shisha Havu, the Chami said, yeah, there were arches there, but they were made of marble. Marble is very slippery, so that would not have been able to support him. So it's still a miracle. For a mayor, Yevshard lo Masrich v'nayim purta. Rameir says it's impossible that he didn't like catch, I guess, maybe a rough place or whatever, that he was able to support himself and sleep a little bit, but it wasn't a nace, is the way Rameir is saying. So that's his raya that he wants to bring, that even if it's mayim sheishlam sof, you can't permit a woman to marry based on that. Let me just do one more story, and then I'll pause, and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So we're two lines before it gets wide, on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Tan Rabbanan, Maz Habito Shal Nechunya Chofer Sichin. That's the way my Rebbe would pronounce it. You know, in Lithuania, Lita, so the Shin is sometimes pronounced like a Sin, like you say Shamas. In Hebrew, it's Shamash, but you say Shamas in Lithuania, the different dialects of Hebrew and Yiddish. And so in Lithuania, that would be the way. And they would say, I think, fish instead of fish. So here, the way my Rebbe pronounced it was, this was one of my Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Obrovsky, is the front of the bracha. He would say, Boro Sichin Umaro. Anyway, so he's Chofer Sichin. He was the ditch digger, Shnafla the Bor HaGadol. So this is his daughter from the Bor HaGadol. Now, if you look at Rashi, let's look at Rashi. Chofer Sichin, around the 15th hour line from the top in Rashi. Chofer Sichin, Le'ole Regalim. In other words, he would dig ditches for the Ole Regalim. He says, Umayim et kansim behem, water would gather in these ditches, vayushotin heinu behemtan. And the people, the Ole Regalim, were able to have water. So, do you remember we learned in Daf Yomi about, who remembers, what's the term? That's exactly right. Michael said, Pase Biraud. Pase Biraud were like these wedge-shaped L's that they had around the Be'erot that they would be able to carry. It was a kula drabanan that they were able to carry. It was like a kula on the dinam of Erevin. We had a Masechet Erevin. So anyway, but this Nechunya was Chofer Sichin. He would be like the ditch digger, but he would arrange for everybody to have water, the only regalim. But his daughter fell a Bor HaGadol. His daughter fell in this big cistern. I don't know how big the cistern is, but he says, and then they notified Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. We've had Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. He comes up a lot of places in Shas. In particular, remember the Gemara says in Brachot, remember that there was this arod, this like serpent that was biting everybody and they were dying. And then Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa stuck his heel in the hole where the arod was, and the arod died. And he picked up the dead arod and he brought it to the Beis Medrash. And he says, see, it's not the arod that kills, it's the chait that kills, it's the aveira. And there's another incident, remember in Tanis, the Gemara has a lot of cases where once Reb Chanina ben Dosa's daughter put water instead of vinegar in the candles, and his daughter said, "Dad, I messed up. I lit the candles with water instead of vinegar. Was it vinegar? No, vinegar instead of oil. Was that it? Yeah, vinegar instead of oil. Yeah, I made a mistake. I put vinegar in instead of oil." So the father said, "Don't worry. The Ribono Shel Olam, who he said that the oil will burn, he'll say the vinegar will burn, and the candles burn till after Shabbos." And I think they did the bench Tavdala over those candles. And there are other incidents that the Gemara brings about Reb Chanina ben Dosa. And one last incident with Reb Chanina ben Dosa, I think with Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai's son was very ill, and he asked Reb Chanina ben Dosa to pray for him, for the son. And Reb Chanina ben Dosa prayed for the son, and he said, like, you know, at this, he said, "I'm sure that he's going to get better." And they wrote down the time, and that was when the son's fever broke. So Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai's wife said, "Is he greater than you?" He says, "No, not that he's greater than me. He's who domeh le'eved l'fnei ha'melech, v'ani domeh l'sar l'fnei ha'melech. He's like the servant before the king, and I'm like the officer before the king." In other words, let's say you're the President of the United States, who gets to see you more often? The fellow who, you know, vacuums your office every day, or the Secretary of Defense? In other words, the Secretary of Defense maybe he meets with once a week or something like that. But the guy who vacuums the room every day, he sees him every morning and every evening, that type of thing. So he says, "He's Domin Le'evid Lefnei HaMelech. I'm Sar Lefnei HaMelech." That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said. Okay, that's Reb Chanina ben Dosa. It was a Rabbi Yisrael Solomon. I remember he explained this, the secret that way. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. So he says, so the daughter is in the water. So shalom. So the first hour, he said, "Zorknisht." Don't worry, the child is fine. He says, "Shnia amar lehem shalom." He still didn't find the daughter. The second hour, he says, "Don't worry." The third hour, he says, she got out of the water. So now I just saw it in the Masifta Gemara. They brought down that one of the Farshim wants to say that like 3 hours you could survive. I don't know, but in other words, like how long a person could survive in the water, whatever. But the point is, in the third hour, he said that she's out. So Amarla, he said to her, Reb Chanina ben Dosa said to her, "Bitin, mi halach? Who got you out of the water?" Amralo, "Zachar shurachelim nizdameli, I encountered a male sheep, the zakein manigo, and a zakein, an elderly person, was leading it." So let's look at the Rashi on this. Does Rashi say it here? Yeah. You look at Rishol Rechelim. He says, "Zeh elo shel Yitzchak." So Rashi says that's the aisle that was brought instead of Yitzchak. Zakein echad manigo to Abraham. It was, she's Abraham with the aisle. The aisle is the male ram that was brought. So Mepharshim, so I saw that the Masifta Gemara quoted the Aruch. I want to say like this, that, and there's different Mepharshim connected it with the Akedah and things like that, but I want to say that Avraham Avinu, when he went to do the Akedah, so he went up till his neck in water, and he says, "Ba'u Mayim Nefesh." The Satan tried to block Avraham Avinu from doing the mitzvah. So he went up into his neck in water. So in some way, that the Zechus of Avraham Avinu doing that would be what's saving her here. And then I saw they quoted also from the Aruch, they wanted to say that Avraham Avinu has a tefillah at the Akedah, Bahar Hashem Yera'eh, that in the words, that at this mountain, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and all the holy regalim will come there, and Hashem will see them, and they'll obviously be in Hashem's presence. So in the zechus of that, so he, this Reb Nechunya Chofer Sichin, was the one who enabled the Olei Regalim. So in some way, that's a chus, like, saved her. And it was Avraham Avinu, you know, at the Akedah, you know, his zechuyos are being used that they should build the Beis HaMikdash there and to enable the Olei Regalim. And Reb Nechunya, you know, Reb Nechunya Chofer Sichin, he's also enabling the people to make Olei the Regal. So let's see back in the Gemara. He says, "So Amrulo Naviata." So they said to Reb Chanina ben Dosa, "Are you a prophet? How did you know that she saved this at the whole thing?" Amar lahem lo navi anochi v'lo ben navi anochi. I'm not a navi. I'm not the son of a navi. Elo davar shetzarek mita asek bo ikasho bozaro. I knew that this daughter could not drown because something that her father had been osek with to provide water for the Olei Regalim, I could not imagine that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would cause a daughter to be drowned. I don't know if the Borag Gadol, if he had dug it or whatever, but the main thing is, like, he had done such a sequence with water, I didn't think that the daughter would get drowned. So Am Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba said, Afal Pichain, Meit Beno Batzama. Notwithstanding that, this Rabbi Nechoni's Chofer Sichin, his son, died through thirst. So he says, Shenemar Usvivav Nisarama Od. By surrounding him, it's a big storm, but the Drat Nisarak Sa'ara with the Samach is a storm, but even with the sin, it can be a storm. But Melamein Shekash Baruch Hu Medaktek Him Svivav Kachot Asara. In other words, the Gemara darshens out that Hashem is Medaktek with those who are closest to him, like Chot Asara, like the breath of a hair, so that the son, I don't know whatever he did, but in other words, whatever, it might have been a traveling Aveira, but then he got killed. I'll come back in a minute. Although, it's not exactly the same case. You see, the girl was drowning in the water, and that's what he was providing. The son died from thirst, so it's like the lack of water. So it's not exactly the same thing. He says, Rabbi Chanina Amar Mehacha. Chanina said one could deduce the same rule from the following pasuk. Kel Na'aratz Besod Kedoshim Rabbah. God is like dreaded in the midst of a large assembly of holy people. Vinoral Kol Svivav. He's like feared on all people who are around him. But it means that the people who are around him is, you know, it's like, you have to be worried about the thing. Okay, who's the questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, so I'm going to move on if nobody has any questions, comments, or thoughts. Okay, quiet group tonight. Okay, so we're on the eighth wide line on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis in the Mishnah, next Mishnah. Okay, Manitin. And we're not the last Mishnah, but we're getting very close, gentlemen. So now we're talking about the edus by which one can establish that a woman is not an aguna, that her husband is dead and she's free to remarry. So the Mitanah Mishnah says that even, let's say, Reuven will be the witness in quotation marks, even if Reuven overheard women saying that Plony is dead. Let me give different names to people because, I don't know, Reuven was usually the dead person. So Reuven will be the cadaver. So even if Zebulun overhears women saying that Reuven is dead, and Zebulun comes to Bezdin and said, I overheard the women saying that Reuven is dead, that's enough to establish that he's dead for purposes of permitting Reuven's wife to remarry. So it's hearsay evidence, and nevertheless acceptable in court because of Aguna. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Shamami Natina Kod Omrim, Rei Anu Hochim L'Spod V'Likbord Ish Ploni. So Rabbi Yehuda says, even if he heard children, now children by themselves are not old enough to give edus in court. But even if the witness, in this case Zvulon, he overheard children saying, we're going to Reuven's Hesped and to bury him. Now, the next line of the Gemara is Machlokot among the Mefarshim, whether it's continuation of Rabbi Yehuda or like a sort of a different paragraph, but I'm going to do it a little bit different paragraph. Vein Shu Mitkavein, Uvein She'enu Mitkavein. So the person can give testimony whether he intends it to be used for Aedus, or he doesn't intend it to be used for Aedus. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Omer, B'Yisrael, Afal Pi Shum et Kavein, if it's the Yisrael, so even though he intends to be used for Aedus, good. Uva Ovei Kochavim, Yam et Kavein, Ein Eto Aedus. He says, by Goy, if he intends it to be used for Aedus, it's not good. We'll see in the Gemara, I'll explain more about this, okay? Okay. So if you look at the Rashi, Rashi says, Afil Shemam and Anashim, that even if somebody heard the woman speaking, Shalom Mikavno Lahaid, and Masichot Lepituba. In other words, they're having a conversation. They don't intend that their statement should be used as testimony in court, the women. They're speaking in their innocence. And then Zvulun overhears them. He nevertheless can say, I overheard the women saying that. Now, let me just check this one second. Yeah. So in the other case, Mitkavein means the original person who made the statement. In other words, whether the person intended it to be used as Aedus or did not intend to be used as Aedus, it can be used as long as he's Jewish. But if it's a goy, it has to be Misiyah Lafi Tuma. We'll see in the Gemara. In other words, if the goy is speaking in his innocence, then it's good. But if he thinks he's giving testimony, then it's not acceptable. What's up? Well, we've learned different exceptions with one aid. Remember, we had three exceptions for one witness. I don't know if this is, I can't say for certain. Okay? All right, let's see back on the Gemara. Now, all right, now the Gemara says, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, back on the Gemara. Now, the Tanna of the Mishnah said that even if Zvulun overhears children talking, let's say he overhears the 10-year-olds talking amongst themselves that were going to Reuven's funeral, then he, Zvulun, can come to Beis Din and said, I overheard them saying, and then we can establish the death. So the Gemara says, maybe they're not going to end up going to this funeral. Like, how did you establish that he's dead already? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Ka'amri, Harenu Ba'im in the Spot of the Gordi Shploni. So Shmuel explains the Mishnah means that he overhears the children saying, we're coming from the funeral. So from the Hesped and the funeral for him. Vadilma Kamsaba Amashachiv Lay, Basik Lay Ashmei. So if his children, maybe it's just the grasshopper. They're calling the grasshopper Reuven. And they named grasshopper Reuven. And I don't know, they're coming from his funeral. Maybe they killed him. Or so how do you know it's like talking about a person? The Ka'amri, Chain v'chain Rabbanon Habu Atam, because they also say that the X and Y rabbis were there. Chain v'chain Saftani Habu Atam. And the father was Saftani. The father eulogizes were there. So under those circumstances, you can use that statement, you know, to come and testify in court. Okay, now. Now, if it's a goy, if, again, the original speaker is a non-Jew, if he, the non-Jew, intends that his statement should be used for edus in court, then it's no good. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lo Shalosh Kavin Lahatir. It's only if the goy intends that his statement be used to be matir, the wife. But if he intends it just to be used, a statement to be accepted, it is good. How do we know? Amar of Yosef, Bala Beitin, Vamar, Ish Ploni Mate, he has see what Ishto. If let's say Goy comes to Beis Din and he says, Reuven is dead, you can marry off his wife. Then his intent is to be mocked to the wife, and we cannot accept his testimony. Mate Stam, if he says, Reuven died, Zonu Kavin Laedu. Itmar Nami, Amar Ish Lakish, Loshanu Lash the Kavin Lahatir. It's only poison when the goy intends it to be matir, to allow the woman to remarry. But if you just send to the edus of stam, it's good edus. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, Lo kachaya maase b'oshia b'rebi. He says, wasn't there an incident with Oshia b'rebi, Oshia the god of Lador? It should be Sheatris. On the side, he corrects it, Sheatris. Sheatris, him shvonim b'kamishaz kenim. He battled 85 zakenim. It means battled an argument. So Amar lahem, he said the way you want to say that Oshia Berebi said the pshat that you, Reish Lakish, want to say in the Mishnah, that it only means if he intends to be matir the wife, not if he intends to give edus. The chachamim did not agree with him. So you have 85 chachamim disagreeing with Oshia Berebi, so it doesn't make sense that we should interpret the Mishnah like Oshia Berebi. He says that if the goy intends to be edus, not good edus, but there is a case where he doesn't intend that it's acceptable. So what's the case that we can accept the statement of a non-Jew? Means he speaks in his innocence. That's an important call. So if the goy is mesiach lefitumo, this comes up in a lot of different areas in halacha. If the goy is mesiach lefitumo, you could rely on his statement. In other words, he's Mesiach Pituma. Ki Yehuda Hava Ka'amar Ba'aziel Man'ika Be'chevoy, Man'ika Be'chevoy. Like there was a goy who came and said, you know, where is the house of Chevoy? Where's the house of Chevoy? Shachiv Chevoy. Chevoy is dead. In other words, he's not coming to Beis Din. He's just saying, you know, I want them to know that Chevoy is dead. He says, V'insva Rav Yosef L'debithu. And Rav Yosef permitted his wife to be remarried based on that statement, because he didn't intend his edus, and he certainly didn't intend it to be, you know, to be makir the wife. Who dahaba ka'amar ba'aziel violated the parasha zriza da pumpadita the shachiv. There was another goy who came. He said, "Whoa, this like swift horseman that was in pumpadita that he's dead." V'insva Rav Yosef became a rabba the bitu, and Rabbi Yosef, and some say Rava, permitted his wife to be remarried. In other words, that's Mesiach Lefitumo. In other words, he doesn't realize that his statement is being used for any legal purpose whatsoever. He says, now, Hahuda Haba Ka'amar Ba'aziel, there was somebody who came and said, Man Ika Bechasa, Tava Chasa. who's here from the house of Chasa? Chasa is dead. Chasa is drowned. Chasa drowned. So Amar Rav Nachman, when he heard that statement, said, Elokim. Rav Nachman is making like a Lashon Shvua. Elokim, Achlu Kavri L'Chasa. He says, the fish have eaten Chasa. You know, it's like Lahavdil, like the mafia, you know, he's sleeping with the fish. You know what I mean? It was a sad thing here. But in other words, like the, what, say again, what? Yeah, right. Anyway, so let's go slowly. Now, when the person comes and says that Chasa has drowned, now he's talking about Mayim She'in Lahem Sof. In other words, like he drowned at sea. So it's Mayim She'in Lahem Sof. It's a goy. But it's Mayim She'in Lahem Sof. So Mayim She'in Lahem Sof, we normally cannot accept it. But Rav Nachman, when he heard the statement, he said, oh my God, and he takes Lashon Shvua, he says, Chasa is dead. So based on Rav Nachman's statement, Chasa's wife went and remarried. In other words, she heard Rav Nachman say, like he's taking Lashon Shvua, that Chasa's dead, so she remarried. So nobody said anything to her. So he says, Am Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, Shmami na, hada amu rabbanan mayim shenam sof ishto asura. So Rav Ashi says, when the Chachamim say mayim shenam sof, the wife is prohibited, L'chachila, she can't remarry. Aval inasiv lo mafkin laminei. But if she does remarry, we don't force her to divorce. Ikin da amri, others say, the other version of the Gemara is, insva Rav Nachman l'dbitu, that Rav Nachman himself permitted the wife to be remarried. Amar chasa gavaraba ita. He said chasa was a chasha person. Im ita desalik kala idlei lamilta. If he had emerged from the water, so it's like has a cold. Everybody knows about it. Like we spoke about earlier on Amud Aleph, like Rav Moshe Feinstein. Velohi, it's not true. Loshna gavaraba, loshna lav gavaraba, dievet and lechakid lo. It's not true. Whereas lechakid, we don't permit a woman to remarry, but dievet, if she did remarry, then we would leave her alone. Okay? Who's the questions comes to us? Anything they did?
I do now.
What? What's up?
My aim to aimless self. We don't lotina set. That's the rule.
Right,
so this is rebutting a presumption with evidence. Is that
no,
it?
No. In other words, the Gemara is saying the woman went forward. On the first version, she went forward and remarried on her own. She just heard Rav Nachman say a shvua. So Rav Nachman for the shvua was relying on the rov. Like most of the women, most of the men would be dead. So he wasn't choshesh for a shvua levatala. But she heard him make that shvua. And then she took that as a green light to remarry. In the second version, Rav Nachman felt that Chasa was an important person, and had Chasa emerged from the water, everybody would know about it because it would like be the news would spread all over the place. But the Gemara says it's not the case. We don't rely on that. Okay, what else is up?
Thank you.
All right. Okay, now let's go further in the Gemara. Now, okay, we're on the second wide line, and we're about to enter the last daf of Yevamot. It's been a long journey, gentlemen and ladies. Now, let's take a look back on the Gemara. There was a certain non-Jew who said to a Jew, he says to a Jew, I want you to cut aspasta. Aspasta is like stubble, and give it to my animals on Shabbos, and if you don't do this, I'm going to kill you like I killed Ploni Bar Yisrael. The Amrile, I said to Ploni, I want you to cook a pot of food for me on Shabbat. Bilobashali, he didn't cook it for me. Bekatilte, and I killed him. So let's say Ploni is Reuven. So the Goy says to the Jew, like, you should do this on Shabbos, otherwise I'm going to kill you like I killed Reuven. So Shabbat Debitu, his wife, Reuven's wife, overhears this conversation. The Atayla Kami Dabaye, and she comes for a bite, says, well, can I remarry now? I heard the Goy say that he killed my husband. So, I mean, it would be nice if he could be punished, but in the meantime, though, I should be able to be remarried, or can I remarry? So, Shahita Tlata Riglay. So, Abaye delayed ruling on it for three regalim. So, Rashi's first shot, look at the first Rashi. Shahita Tlata Riglay. Can you tell me the Chamim Nikbat Simla Shmo Drasha Hilfo Pesach for Pesach? By Tshomayim. So, the first shot Rashi has that he delayed it for three regalim because before each regal, the Chamin would get together at the Chazar over different dinim. And so he was presenting it to them each time with a different regal. He thought he would get an answer. That's the first Hezber. And then look at the second Hezber in Rashi. So he says that Riglei is the yortzeit of an Adam Gadol. He says, So he says, each yortzeit, they would get a big chevra of people to be Moshe v'yeshiva al kivro. You know, I'm just thinking about this. You know, there's a din that you're not allowed to learn Torah in a cemetery, but maybe the Gemara also says that they were Moshev a yeshiva by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, but I assume that if it's learning is done l'chvod HaMeit, that would be the exception. Anyway, so we'll say again what? Right. Loig l'rash charefo sehu, but here, if it's done l'chvodo, that would be the exception. So anyway, so it's like you know, like the Rav, like he had a big yortzeit shiur on Gimel Shvat, which was his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's yortzeit, and a big olam would gather in Nathan Lamport Auditorium, and sometimes people would only see each other once a year on the yortzeit, and they wish each other a good yortzeit, you know, because they would see each other once a year on the yortzeit. Anyway, so it's the same idea here. Anyway, so back in the Gemara, so on the top line, so Amar La Rav Ada Bar Ava, Rav Ada Bar Ava said to her, Zilu kamei de Rav Yosef, the Charif Sakina. Go before Rav Yosef, he's like sharp, very sharp. Now, I saw in the Masechta Gemara they mentioned that, remember in the Sugya, at the end of Bracho, remember Rabba Rav Yosef, so Rabba is the Oker Harim, Rav Yosef is the
Sinai.
Sinai, right, he had the weft, and yet here he's calling him Charif Sakina, like the sharp one. Now, the emes is, some want to say here, I think that it should be, Rava with an Aleph. But even if it's Rav Yosef, so I saw that Rav Yosef wasn't as sharp as Rava, but he was sharp, you know. Anyway, so he says, Azla Kameh, so she goes before Rav Yosef, Pashit Meha Matnita. He was able to deduce an answer for her from the following braisa. It says, Oveh Kukavim Shem Ofer Perot B'Shuk. It was a non-Jew selling Perot in the marketplace. He says, Va'amar Perot Lalu Shel Or Lahein. So, the guy, he is trying to like puff up his goods to make it sound like they're good. In other words, he says they're orla. Orla is the first 3 years. So it's asurvana. But he's thinking it's like fruit from a strong tree. So it's a good quality fruit. He says, shel azekahin. Or it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, this event. And Rashi's one shot Rashi has, they're from the city of Azeka, which has good fruit. He, the goy, doesn't realize that the Jew now will be concerned that Masrot weren't taken from it. He says, Shel Neta Ravaihin, or he says it's the fourth year of the fruit of the Perot from the tree, but he doesn't realize that Neta Ravai has to be brought to Yerushalayim. So he says, so in other words, if I take his statement at face value, the non-Jew statement at face value, the fruit are prohibited for a Jew. So do I have to, or should I accept the goy's statement? So the Tana of the Brisa says, Lo Amar Klum. He says that you can disregard the non-Jew statement. He, the goy, is just trying to puff up his goods, like to say that they're good goods, not that it's even true what he's saying. So here too, Rabbi Yosef is saying, the goy says to the Jew, I want you to cut a stubble on Shabbos, otherwise I'm going to kill you like I killed Reuven. So he didn't really kill Reuven. He just wants to put the fear of God in the second Jew that he'll do it. Not necessarily that he killed Reuven. So again, so we can accept the goy's statement if it's Mesich Lepitumo, he makes the statement in all innocence, but not where he has like some motivation to make the statement. Here, the goy has a motivation to make the statement, so I can't rely on it, and the woman can't remarry based on that statement. Now, Abba Yudin Yisaydin Amar, Masa Bistrova Veikho Chavim, he says there was an incident with a Jew and a non-Jew, Shal Chubadera, they're walking on the way, Uval Veikho Chavim Mar Chaval Al Yudi, he says, woe to the Jew that was walking and that was traveling with me. He died on the derech and I buried him. And based on his statement, they permitted the wife to remarry. That's Mesiach Lepitumo. There's another incident which kolar is either a group of people. Kolar is usually like a chain. Some want to say that they were chained together. But kolar shel b'nei adam, shumahalchim l'Antokhia, they were traveling to Antokhia, Antioch, which is, you know, near the Syrian border with in Turkey, he says on the Mediterranean. Woe to this kolar of people that died and I buried them. And then based on his statement, they permitted the wives to remarry. There was another incident with 60 people to Mahalkin the Karkum Beitar, who were traveling. Karkum Beitar sounds like the siege of Beitar. Woe that they were traveling, they died. I buried them. And they permitted their wives to remarry. Okay, any questions, comments to us on anything I did so far? All right, maybe we'll try a little bit more. Okay. One second. Let me pause for station identification. Okay, we said about the goy, this is from the Aladat. If he intends it to be used, so he can't accept it. The Rambam rules like the Mishnah that a non-Jew is believed when he relates that a Jew died only if the information is transmitted in innocence, misil pitumo. Furthermore, the Rambam writes that if a government official relates that they executed a Jew, he's not believed, since idolaters have a tendency to lie about these matters to enhance their reputation in order to instill fear. Poskim discuss whether the Rambam's ruling applies when there are government documents that indicate that a person died. The rationale behind this assertion is that one could draw a distinction between simply making a false assertion that the government executed someone and putting in the effort of drawing up false documentation that a person is dead. For example, the Chuvas Devar Avram. So the Devar Avram was Rav Avram Duber Kahana Shapiro, who was the Rabin Kovnow before World War II. I remember he wrote this big Haskama for the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, when he came to America. He said it like he's brilliant. And anyway, so he says, he addressed a case of a Jew who was tried and convicted of a capital crime. A Jew was present at the time the judgment was pronounced, and the next day the newspaper reported that this person was executed by the government. The Devar Avram wrote that the concern about government officials lying is not so applicable to our organized governments, since they do not build a reputation by executing people. Additionally, he cites others who distinguish between merely stating that a person died and actual documentation to that effect. Chuvas Beis Ephraim, on the other hand, takes a different line of reasoning. An aguna obtained government documents that her husband, who had been serving in the army, died in a hospital somewhere far away. The Beis Ephraim hesitated to rely on this information because the government does have an ulterior motive to lie. It is embarrassing for the government to document the number of soldiers who ran away from the army, like deserting. He says, therefore, in order to conceal the number of soldiers that actually fled, the government would prefer to lie and claim the soldiers died. In conclusion, he writes that any time there is a reason or incentive for the government to lie about a person's death, they are not believed, even if their claim is documented. Anyway, but you get the idea. So Dr. Yomi just is like, sensitized to these different issues. Okay, let me try the next Mishnah, and then we'll see where we're going to pick up today and tomorrow. Okay, so we're around the 20th line down on Kuf Kaf Beis Amud Aleph. All right, everybody with me? Manitin, Me'idin L'or Haner or L'or Elavana. Now, if I saw the person, he was dead, but I saw it by candlelight, or I saw it by moonlight, that's still good testimony. In addition to which, I can permit a woman to marry. Now, Bakol is usually a heavenly voice. Here, it means either a voice, but I don't know who the speaker of the voice was, which we'll see, or someone to say it's an echo. I hear an echo, somebody speaking. There was an incident with one person who stood on a mountaintop. He says, Reuven ben Yaakov from Beit Lechem is dead. They didn't find anybody from where they heard the voice. They didn't find the speaker. But they permitted the wife to remarry just based on that statement. In addition to which, there was an incident in Salmon, which is a city in Lower Galilee. I am Reuven ben Yaakov. A snake just bit me. I'm dying. They got to the body, but they weren't able to recognize the body because I guess the snake bite or whatever, like the whole thing had distorted it, so they couldn't recognize him from the way he looked. But nevertheless, they permitted the wife to remarry. All right, let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, this is getting exciting, we're so close. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rabba Bar Shmuel. Rabba Bar Shmuel says, Tana Torna Braisa, Beit Shammai Omrim, Ein Masino Bat Kol. So the Brisa mentions that according to Beit Shammai, you can't remarry based on a bakol. Bakol is, again, that voice, that you don't know who spoke or the echo. And Behil says you could. So my Kamash Baman, so what was Rabbi Bar Shmuel teaching me? He says, Manitinhi. In other words, if he's teaching me that Beis Hill says that I can rely on the bakol, so I already have our mission says I can marry the bakol. We know the halakha is always like Beis Hillel. So what is he adding to the conversation when he says Samachloke? So Hakamashvalan, so he's teaching me this. Dimashtakachat stama de masin beishamayi. If you come across a brisa that says anonymously that you're not allowed to remarry, so now you know that's Beit Shammai and we don't follow Beit Shammai. All right? Everybody good? Any questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. Let's try a little bit more. Balchuv lo matzu. So they went and they couldn't find the speaker. So again, this is where they, somebody speaking from the top of the mountain, he says, Reuven ben Yaakov is dead. And then they go to the top of the mountain, they can't find who the speaker was. So he says, Vidilma Shadehava, maybe the speaker was a demon. In other words, how do you know it's even a person who's speaking? And how do you rely on this thing? So Amar of Yehuda Marav, Shiraulo Devar Adam. They saw like it was like a person, but they couldn't see who was speaking. Inunami Damu. He says, no, but the demons also appear like people. The Chaz, and the demon, you can't rely on what the demon says. The Chazulei Bababua, they saw that he had a shadow. Says in Vinunami Yadlu Babua, but demons also have shadows. The Chazulei Bababua de Babua. They saw the shadow of the shadow. It means like early in the morning when the sun comes up, like there's like two shadows. You have like a darker shadow and a lighter shadow. So they saw a darker shadow and a lighter shadow, and that they figure is only by the human. So the Gemara says, Vidilmu Didu Idlu Babua de Babua. Maybe the demons also have the two shadows. Amr Ibn Chanina, Amr Li Yonatan Shida. So Rav Chanina said that Yonatan Shida, either Yonatan the demon or Yonatan, who's an expert on demons, he said to me, Babua itlahu, Babua the Babua lightlahu. They only have the black shadow. They don't have like the light gray shadow. So that's a human person. So the Gemara says, Vidilma Tsara Havoi. Maybe the one who was saying was really the co-wife of the widow. In other words, a voice is summing and saying, Reuven is dead. Let's say Reuven had two wives, Rachel and Bilhah. So we've learned that Bilhah is not allowed to testify to vis-a-vis Reuven's death because we're afraid that Bilhah will try to like sabotage her co-wife. So we can't accept her testimony. So how do you know? You don't know who's speaking here. Maybe it's the Tzara. So how can I do that? So Tana, so Natana taught Nebraisa, Tana's baby Shmuel, the Shara Sakana Kofi Benonim, Alpha Pishay Makirin. So he quotes a brisa that says, if a person's in a state of sakana, so Rashi brings down, let's say a man was thrown into a pit, and he says, whoever hears my voice should write a get to my wife. So we write it and we give it, and we rely on everything he says, and he says he's ploni ben ploni. And that's a time of sakana. So here too, it's like kishara sakana. Should we, if we don't believe this person, so the woman's going to be in aguna. So it's like shara sakana. So with shara sakana, we're gonna believe that. In other words, we're not gonna worry that maybe it's the tzara. That's the main thing. We're not gonna worry it's the tzara. Okay, let me end it at this point in time again. The learning today was sponsored by Henry Rechnitz, Lilu Nisham of his father, Yitzchak Tzvi Ben Shlomo Zechon Levraka, and should be a Lilu Nisham. Okay, let me end the recording.